Hey, how's it going? I'm Nick from Echo Academy, and in today's video, I just want to recap on the year 2020. I think for all of us, 2020 has been an interesting one. I think we've also had a lot of bad, but sometimes we also have to remember that there's quite a lot of good that probably happened as well. But sometimes the bad can feel really overwhelming, and as such, we forget about all the good that has happened. So one thing I'd encourage you to do, I guess, before the end of the year is to really take stock of the good and the bad and to kind of learn what was the growth opportunities or the growth that happened within you during this year. So I thought, to get the ball rolling, I'd start with, the things I've learned and the life lessons I'll be bringing forward to 2021. All these life lessons were pieces of advice that I received from my podcast guests. In specifically, there are five of them, and I found them really interesting. And when I hear something interesting like that, I always think to myself, "Wow, is it applicable in my life? And if it is, how can I apply it?" So these are five that really stuck, There were many more, but these were the five strongest ones. So I thought I'd share it with you as the five life lessons that I'll be taking forward to 2021. The first one is all about deprioritizing. This was mentioned by Rahul in my podcast with him about how GovTech came up with all the technology required for us to kind of get through COVID. And one of the points he brought up was, this idea of deprioritization. So a lot of us, we're very familiar with the concept of prioritization, right? Which is essentially, what am I putting first? What is the first thing on my to-do list, in a list of all these many other things that I need to accomplish? But I think deprioritizing or deprioritization seems like a more important thing, especially in this day and age when we are overwhelmed and inundated with so many things. And the concept of deprioritization essentially means what am I choosing not to do? Especially when there's a lot of things to do. Now, it's just a simple change, sentence change and meaning change, but what I've realized when I've practiced this, especially this year, is that when I practice deprioritization instead of prioritization, it's difficult because it takes a lot of courage to deprioritize things that involve other people because they may not see it as not important. In other words, they might feel like it's worth taking a look and it's important enough for it to be on your radar. But, there comes a lesson, I guess, in confidence in saying, no, it's not that important, especially to me. As much as I want to accommodate, there are other things that are more important to me and I need to put that first. So deprioritization, I think, is one thing I really want to take towards 2021 as well, which is really choosing what not to do, and being comfortable in that choice, which is, I think, even more difficult, but worth a shot for sure. So whenever I feel overwhelmed or inundated with a lot of things to do, the one question I'm going to ask myself in 2021 is, what can I deprioritize? What can I choose not to do, especially when I have too much to do? So that's the first life lesson. So the second life lesson that I think I'm taking towards 2021 is the idea of when I should compare myself to others. I know there's a lot of advice there that says, comparison and comparing yourself to others is not good. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt who said, comparison is the thief of joy. It's probably true. I mean, yeah, it's true. I don't deny that. But I think there's also a lot of value in comparing yourself to others. the trick is to know when it's valuable to compare yourself with others, which I think can be very difficult, you know, to know when is the right time that you should really be comparing yourself, you know. And for a long time, I guess I didn't know when I should be comparing myself to others in order for me to really take myself to that next level and to improve. So when I had my podcast conversation with Troy Engel, who was the former US track and field Olympic coach, I think something he said, I mean, I guess it was indirect, but something I really took from that was, you know, just the idea of how the top athletes, you know, kick it into gear and start competing with others instead of competing with themselves. So, you know, how I broke it down was, you know, in anything you choose to do in life, think of it as like an exam, right? You get either an F grade or an A grade and anything in between, depending on your performance. But when you're trying to get from an F grade, you know, in other words, I know nothing about this, but I want to excel, to an A grade, meaning like, okay, I know what it takes to be good at this, you don't really need to compare yourself to others. And the main reason for this is, you know, everything that is required for you to get to that A grade has been done before. And not only has it been done before, it's probably been done by so many others. So there's really no need for you to compare yourself to others, because all the information you need, all the guidance you need, all the coaching you need, you can get on your own, you know, and you can just focus on being the best. Because when you're at an F grade or a D grade or a C grade or whatever grade, right, your goal is to get to an A. Your goal is not to beat someone else. We are not that good yet, you know. Only once we've reached A can we start really thinking about how to compete with others. But when we are not at a level of efficiency, our goal shouldn't be to compare ourselves to others. Our goal should just be to get really good at it. And there's a lot of information out there that is relevant and important and useful and good enough for you to get to that A grade without the need to even look at someone else and how he or she is doing. Where it's super valuable, I think, to compare yourself to others is from A grade to an A plus, right? Because essentially, when you're trying to get to an A, from an A to an A plus, essentially, what the person who's judging you is looking for is, what are you doing different from other people who are just as good as you? Or what are you doing better? And in order for you to know that, you need to know what other people are doing. And that's where the value of comparison comes in. And I got this even from all the other athletes that I've talked to in my podcast as well, right? When they talk about it, you know, usually they have their blinders on until they get to a really good level. But when they want to get 1% better or 2% better than, you know, their competition, that's when they start comparing themselves to others. You know, they're like figuring out, what is this top elite athlete doing that I'm not doing? And what should I be doing? And how can I beat them? So I think the value of comparing yourself to others is when you're good and you want to be the best, you know, because it's all those little differences that you need to start paying attention to in order for you to get that value and to really bring yourself to that A plus level game. So in other words, the life lesson that I'm thinking to myself and bringing forward to 2021 is, whenever I start to compare myself to others, I will ask myself, am I at an A grade? If I'm not at an A grade yet, then I don't need to compare myself to others, because everything I need to do to get to an A grade can be found without looking at other people. And only when I'm at an A grade will I start to think about looking at how other people do it and try to get to that level as well. So that, I think, is a great life lesson for me that I'll be taking to 2021. So life lesson number three that I'm taking forward to 2021 is the concept of how to make a good decision. Now, this was a conversation I had with Matthew Girardo, who's an executive coach. If you're interested in coaching and how to be a high performer and to do it well, then, you know, feel free to reach out to him. I've put the link in the description below so that you can get in touch. But the conversation I had with him was really around how to make a good decision. And the one thing that stuck with me from that conversation was that, yes, there are many components to making a good or even great decision, right? But what would be really important, or at least the best starting point that you can come from, is does the decision you're about to make align with your values? You know, because at the end of the day, we can make the decision we make, but we can't always guarantee that the decision will lead to the outcome that we want. And so whenever we are making a decision, or at least now that I'm thinking about it for my future decision making, you know, aligning it to my values seem like a very important message or advice that, you know, I want to take forward. And the reason for that is I want to be able to ask myself, you know, regardless of whether the outcome is good or bad, will I be happy with the decision I made? And the only way I can be happy with the decision I make is if it aligns with my values. If I can look back and say, you know what, this is true to who I am. I'm making a decision based on my authentic self. I'm being honest, you know, I'm being experimental, you know, and I'm being more risk-taking, right? So if it aligns with those values that I have, then, you know, even if the outcome is bad, you know, I can't feel bad about it because I feel like I made a good decision. So I think moving forward, whenever I'm going, especially in 2021, you know, whatever decision I'm going to make, you know, the first question I'm going to ask myself is, what values will the decision I'm making align with? And if it aligns and if I'm happy with it, then I'll go for that decision. So that's another life lesson. That's life lesson number three. And I think it's worth thinking about as well. So, you know, I hope you give this a consideration as well. The fourth life lesson is a life lesson that I got from, you know, a friend of mine and, you know, a podcast guest that I've really grown a fond of, and that is Dr. Kwon. Dr. Kwon is a neuroscientist, you know, who really focuses on the concept, not the concept, on the topic of stress and the topic of mental health. Both of it are very close to my heart, so you can imagine why I was drawn to his expertise, his mind, and, you know, just he's an overall interesting guy. So, you know, that's why, I just fell in love with our conversation. And the conversation and the life lesson I got out of it that I'll be taking to 2021 is this sentence. And I want you to remember this sentence because it's so powerful. So essentially, stress is stimulation. And the goal in life is not to eliminate stimulation, but it is to get the right type of stimulation and in the right amounts. That was, I guess, his fancy way of saying stress is a good thing. But the value of stress is really the right type of stress and in the right amounts. Essentially, if I were to break that down, is that stress is valuable when it serves a purpose. And on top of that, its value is even more effective if it ends. Because if stress is constant in your life, it becomes chronic, it becomes detrimental to your health. And I think in this modern world, that seems to be a more prevalent problem, right? It's one thing to have a big stressful experience in your life, whether it's work or anything outside of that. But it's another thing altogether to experience stressor after stressor to the point where you can't even recuperate from the stress before because it's always constant. So I think that concept of having that right amount of stimulation is something that I'll really be thinking about in 2021, especially when it comes to the idea of how to approach stress. I don't want to talk too much about how to deal with stress because, you know, hey, I'm not an expert on it. But Echo Academy has a nice micro class on it, you know, and I think it'll be really helpful if you're someone who's experienced stress or you don't really know how to deal with stress, because we really talk about the idea of how to understand how stress shows up for you, and more importantly, what are the strategies that will work specifically for you, so it's not just generic answers. So if you're interested in learning how to really deal with your stress, you know, especially in a world that's, I guess, becoming increasingly uncertain, check out the link in the description. I think you'll really enjoy the course. So yeah, essentially, that's the fourth life lesson that I'll be taking to 2021, and that stress is a stimulation or a form of stimulation. And my goal is to understand, for me at least, what is the right type of stimulation that stress is going to offer me. And if it's too much, I need to learn how to curb it, because then there's no value. The fifth and final life lesson is my favorite. You know, I had a fantastic conversation with this guy. His name is Jacob Pacheco. He has cerebral palsy, but I tell you what, you know, if you didn't see him, you wouldn't be able to know, or you wouldn't know that he has cerebral palsy, you know, because of the things he does. You know, he's an avid surfer, you know, he does it, you know, pretty much. I mean, he competes as well. And, you know, he loves all sorts of extreme sports, you know, and I think, you know, just his outlook on life is really fantastic, which I guess, you know, lends weight to the idea that really the people who go through the biggest struggles are the ones who eventually know how to enjoy life. But that's my hypothesis. You know, I don't have any like scientific data to really back that up. So please take that with a pinch of salt. But anyway, the life lesson that I'm taking forward to 2021 from him is that to really own who you are. And it's just a simple statement, you know, it probably doesn't mean anything. It's just a bunch of words. But I tell you what, his explanation of owning who you are was really got to me, because he said, it's normal for us humans to accept the flaws and weaknesses in ourselves. But if we are really owning who we are, then by definition, if we are going to own the flaws and weaknesses, we must also own what is good about ourselves, and we should always acknowledge it. And, you know, it's such a simple thing, but it's the thing I forget about the most, you know. Every time I experience or I see my weakness in full frontal obviousness, you know, all I can see is my weakness. All I can see is my shortcomings. But then I don't even take the time to own the things I'm good at. And that's not good. And that's not healthy. And I think that is something that I really want to take to 2021. So every time I experience my weakness and my flaws and it's in full display, I will, number one, of course, acknowledge it. But I think more important than acknowledging it is to ask myself, is it true? You know, am I just looking at it through a biased lens? But once I pass that test and it's actually a weakness or a flaw, then I'll ask myself or tell myself, okay, I've acknowledged this weakness and flaw, but what is something positive about myself that I should own that maybe manifested in this experience or any other experience before or after? And only that do I really express the full version of me. And I think that is such an important life lesson, especially when things like COVID happens, right? You know, you lose your job, you know people who suffer from it, and then you start going down this narrow negative spiral. So Jacob, you know, if you're watching this or if you listen to this, I just want to thank you. This is really one of the best advice I got for this year, 2020, and it's definitely the life advice that I'm bringing forward to 2021. Own who you are, all of you. So yeah, those were the five lessons that I will be taking forward to 2021. It's something that, you know, I think that's one of the many blessings I've received from hosting the podcast, right? Because not only do I get to interview a lot of interesting people, I get to learn a lot from them. And the truth is, you know, it's not like, yeah, their credentials speak for themselves, but at the same time, they're just regular people like you and I. But all of us have great advice based on our experiences that we get. And therefore, I always encourage great conversation because you never know what you learn from others. You know, at first, when I first started the Echo Academy podcast, my goal was like, yo, I'm going to be like this massive podcaster, famous, 500 million downloads and all this, you know, all this. I mean, yeah, it's worthwhile ambitions to have, I'm sure. But over time, you know, once I start getting the value from these conversations and the ability to grow from the things I've learned, I've stopped worrying about who actually listens because at the end of the day, the most important listener is me because I'm able to learn from these people. But I hope for those who watch and for those who listen, I really hope you learn something. And if you want to learn something else, you know, just comment in on my videos or on my podcast or whatever and tell me what you want to know or what you want to listen to or who you want to hear from, and you know, I'll make that happen, you know, because that's one of the things I have no boundaries on. I'm always happy to ask whoever, you know, from the famous to the random, like, so that's not a problem at all. So if you're interested in learning more and stuff like that, communicate with me. I'm more than happy to get feedback. So that's it for this. You know, I'm wishing you a fantastic 2021. You know, life has become more and more uncertain, but at the same time, uncertainty breeds discovery. So take the time to discover yourself, take the time to discover new experiences, and have a wonderful 2021. Peace. Bye.